Welcome to the NOLA Drink Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink, food, and culture in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody. Hey, welcome to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for listening to the NOLA Drink Show. Friends, this week, I do appreciate it as always. Hope everybody had a great weekend, having a great week thus far. Got a really good show coming up for you here today. Another installment of our sustainability series. And also, this show marks the last installment of our Tales of the Cocktail 2019 coverage. We're talking about health and wellness in the hospitality industry. Certainly a topic that we've touched on before and will continue to touch on. One of the things that I like to say is if you're in the industry, obviously an important show talking about these topics that are important to you, work-life balance, health, financial sustainability, different issues that connect to health, wellness, and prosperity. If you're a member of the industry, as I said, if you're not a member of the industry and you listen to this show, which I know a lot of you do because you're an enthusiast of the industry, right? Because the industry provides hospitality, cocktails, wine, food, all the stuff, culture, the things that we talk about here on the show, and you have a vested interest in what we're talking about here. Why? Because we want those of us who provide these things that we love so much as customers and enthusiasts to be around to help continue to provide those things that we love so much. And I think a lot of these things also, friends, that we talk about in the show apply to life in general and other industries. We talk about substance abuse. We talk about work-life balance, as I mentioned, and some other things. So I think there's a lot to gain from this, whether you work in the industry or whether you don't work in the industry. We are talking this show with folks connected to Healthy Hospo, a very fine organization. Christine Bocchino, their U.S. ambassador, joins us. Christine was on with us not all that long ago talking about some other things connected to health and wellness in the industry. We're also joined by their founder, Tim Etherington Judge, great guy. And for part of the show, Mo Aljaf, who is a bar owner in Barcelona, Spain, joins us, as well as Effie Panagopoulos, who is a bartender in Florida and also owns a Mastika brand, which is a Greek liqueur. We hear a bit about that. Want to give a real quick update here on something. You're going to hear Tim talk about in the fourth segment of the show. He is taking on a remarkable challenge, running 42 marathons in 42 days. There's a little pause there. During his 42nd year of life. So 42, 42, 42. And also why 42 is relevant, that if you're using the metric system sensibly, there's my commentary. A marathon is actually 42 kilometers. But about part of the way through, about a third of the way through, Tim started to feel some extreme pain in his leg and unfortunately suffered a stress fracture. So he is taking a little bit of a pause during the challenge to get well. We're talking about health and wellness. I think it's a very important thing, very smart decision on Tim's part. Let's think about that, right? 42 marathons in 42 days in his 42nd year of life. So kudos to him. Take that pause, Tim. Get yourself healthy. He's going to do that. But what's going on? A whole bunch of people picked up the slack in the meantime. That's happening today, August 26th, Monday. Bartenders from all over the world are gathering to run a handful of marathons, run 20 simultaneous marathons, kind of piecing them together to help make up that gap of what Tim is missing right now. But never fear, friends, Tim's going to be back doing this very, very soon to finish the challenge that he started to raise money and awareness for health and wellness in the hospitality industry. There's that quick update, friends. We're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. We're going to be back with our featured interview from Tales of the Cocktail, talking with the folks from Healthy Hospo. Come on back. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with the WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Friends, thanks for listening into the show this week. As always, part of our sustainability series here, friends, on the show, Tales of the Cocktail 2019. You've been hearing about it for a little bit, and here we are, and we're addressing some important issues, maybe sometimes not so important issues, but this is one that I'm going to chalk up to being important, and we are talking about health and wellness in the hospitality, service, and liquor industries. And there is a very fine organization out there that is addressing these issues called Healthy Hospo, and I am pleased to be joined by my next two guests. I think others will be parachuting in. Tim Etherington Judge. Tim, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. Very excited to be back in New Orleans. It's my fifth Tales of the Cocktail.
Okay, I thought you were going to say it's your fifth favorite city, but you
know. No,
okay, good. Fifth cocktail, Tales of the Cocktail.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. Fantastic.
It's great to be back.
Excellent. And Christine Bocchino. Christine, how are you?
I'm great. So happy to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. And actually, Christine, you were on with me probably about, 3 months ago, it sounds?
Yes.
Sounds right. But we were doing this by telephone because you were in sunny Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
And here you're in sweaty New Orleans. Welcome.
It's a joy to be here, actually. Let me rephrase that.
Awesome. It's great to have you both. And a fine organization. And Tim, please tell us a little bit, because you started this out of the UK, and would you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so it kind of comes from some personal experiences. So I've been in the industry for 25 years, roughly, from all sorts of jobs, from chef to bartender, barback, and eventually found myself as a brand ambassador. And was a global brand ambassador for a fine American whiskey known as Bullet.
Yeah. Okay.
A few people might have heard of it.
I think a couple, yeah.
So I was doing that for a number of years and kind of having that job that a lot of people in the industry dream of. You know, traveling the world, staying in hotels, going to the world's best bars, the old corporate credit card, you know, spending some company's money. And it's great for a while, you know, and it took me all over the world. So I've seen a lot of airports and a lot of hotels. But after a while, it can if you don't manage it properly, and I was definitely not managing it properly. It can start to kind of really get to your health and wellness. You know, the constant jet lag, so you're bouncing across continents. There wasn't a lot of sleep going on. Terrible nutrition because you're always eating in restaurants or in hotels or minibars or room service. A complete lack of exercise. Because I'd always take my running shoes with me, but I was always just too tired to actually go out and do any exercise. And then the loneliness, you know, away from home for 200, 250 days of the year. Your kind of friends start to forget who you are. You spend most of your time on your own, either at an airport or in a hotel room. And it just started to wear me down. And then 2016 at the Athens Bar Show, I went and did my chat on bourbon to the bartenders and went back to my hotel room and tried to commit suicide.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Yeah. So I just reached a point of hopelessness. I felt trapped and I didn't see a way out of this situation that I'd created for myself. So I tried to end it all. Thankfully, I got through. That's why we're here today. Mm-hmm. But I decided to speak very publicly about my struggles with mental health. I was first diagnosed with depression at the age of 16. So it's something that I'd always struggled with. And also the industry and how we kind of push each other to the point of breakdown quite often and this kind of hedonistic lifestyle that we have. And initially I spoke publicly as a cry for help, hoping to get all these kind of nice messages from people of love and support that would make me feel better. And I got all of those and that was great. But what really changed my life was the hundreds of messages I got from people telling me their stories of suffering and of struggle and of depression and of breakdowns and attempted suicides and like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of private messages. And it just got, I was like, why is no one talking about this? There's, you know, if all of these people have written to me to tell me their stories, why do I not know these publicly?
And I want to have Christine give us her background, but let me ask you this question, Tim, real quick, sure. Because I'm assuming a lot of people, when you put this out there, then these are people that I'm assuming you know, so like Facebook friends and things that were.
Yeah.
So you're encountering these people, and we don't see it, right? You didn't see it. We don't see it.
Exactly. It was a mix of friends, of peers, of some very well-respected industry people that we will know, some complete strangers as well who had kind of seen it through other people sharing my posts. And it was eye-opening, to say the least. And it just got me thinking, like, if there are so many people struggling, why is no one talking about this? And what kind of man would I be if I know there are so many people struggling and I just walked away? You know, because through recovery and my therapist was saying, like, you know, this industry is not good for you. You need to get out and go and do something that's going to look up, you know, so you can look after your health better. And I was like, but then I've got to leave all these people who I know are struggling and I know need help. And what kind of guy would I be if I turned my back on them? And that was the kind of seed for Healthy Hospo. I had no idea what to do at the time, but I knew that I could kind of build a blog using WordPress, and I knew how to use social media. So I kind of signed up all the handles, came up with a name, got a logo designed, and just started writing a blog. Initially, it was about my recovery and everything that I went through there, and people seemed to respond to it really well. And it just grew from there.
Excellent. There's a lot to unpack there that you just said that we're going to get into. But sure. Christine, just give us a little bit of your background, you know, professionally. And I know you've worked in this industry for a while yourself. And then how, you know, you came to get involved with Healthy Hospital.
Absolutely. So I've been in the industry about 25 years as well. And a lot of it in the beverage industry as a wine buyer, sommelier. But I was also working in the kitchen. So I was a pastry chef. My ex-husband was a chef. And so throughout my career, I've tended to work very, very long hours. Sometimes it was in a corporate structure. Sometimes it was individually owned restaurants. But working anywhere from 80 to 100 hours a week definitely wears on you. There were a lot of times where I ran a bar or a club where I, you know, work until 4 or 5 in the morning. And again, you know, you're so tired the next day. Sometimes you get up 12, 2 p.m. You could barely, you know, get yourself out of bed, much less go and exercise and eat right and all of that. So that was kind of taking its toll. And a couple of years ago, a close friend of mine who's been managing restaurants for about 10 years passed away from struggles with health-related issues, with struggles with drugs and alcohol. My ex-husband, who's a chef, struggles with alcoholism as well. So there's been a lot of you know, dealing with that and the mental and physical strains in all aspects of the business. So mm-hmm. I had seen what Tim was doing with London Cocktail Week and BCB and just been hearing more and more about it. I was heading out to London last fall, so I looked him up and I just said, hey, can we have a coffee? And we were planning to meet for about 20 minutes, and we ended up talking over an hour and just kind of going over our stories and really connected. And I really wanted to be able to bring this to the U.S. because it's a necessity. We really need to do something, and we don't have the base health care that they've got in Europe. Mm-hmm. And you know, we want to do some preventative things, as you know, as well as helping people, you know, as they need it and further along, but also, you know, help before it gets to that point. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited to be able to, you know, bring this to the U.S. and share what Tim's been doing. It's incredible.
Fantastic. Again, Tim, some of the things that you, and both of you are talking about, so several things to get into. One of the things that you said, I mean, probably start just about anywhere. One of the things that you said, you know, when you went to the doctor and the doctor said, mm-hmm. well, you need to get out of the industry. This is not a practical solution for most people. Doctors can certainly be that way where they say, well, you know, you just got to stop doing this.
Yeah, no, exactly.
This is your livelihood. This is your profession. You've invested this in a lot of time, so that these things can't be these sort of mutual exclusive situations,
no,
can they?
No, exactly. And it's, and you know, me walking away from the industry wouldn't really have helped anyone. It would have been hugely impactful for me as well. You know, just at the age of, what, I was like 39? To then start over, all over again in a whole different industry, you know, right. and toss away all of the experience, all of the contact and everything that I've done. And it doesn't help promote the industry. It just kind of would then just carry on, you know, this level of unhealthiness that we have in the industry.
And glossing over it, walking away from it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And just ignoring everybody else and just looking after myself. And I learned that, you know, for me, what was also really important was, and has really helped me personally, is it gave me purpose. You know, it gave me a reason to get up in the morning now, rather than just being a brand ambassador and going to sell someone else's brand. I now have a purpose to kind of get up and help improve the industry and help everybody that works in the industry kind of be a bit healthier, enjoy life a little bit more, have longer, better careers. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about.
So. Mm-hmm. That's great. I appreciate you sharing that. And I think in a lot of instances, I mean, and we have talked, it's sort of obvious, we've talked about this on the show before, but we are talking about an industry where you are working in close proximity mm-hmm. to a drug.
Yep.
I mean, so let's talk about that, because I mean, we're sure. talking about there's weird hours, there's work life balance, there's all kinds of other stuff that comes with this. But one of the things is you are working in close proximity yep. to a drug, and that's your job, is to sell it in a sense.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things that we found really impactful is, you know, rather than telling people not to drink. There's a lot of stuff out there, and as soon as you start telling people, like, don't do something, they just want to do it maybe a little bit more, or they find you're just preaching at them. So we like to look at, give people reasons not to drink, you know, and let them make up their own choices. So we as Christine said, we're trying to do a lot of preventative stuff, mm-hmm. and we try and kind of work with brands, work with organizations to come up with activities and events that gives them a reason not to drink. To choose not to, you know, it's their mm-hmm. own personal choice. Like, for example, last night there was the Bartender Boxing, which is a fantastic program. Mm-hmm. And these guys mm-hmm. and girls have gone through a 12-week training program to get to that point where they can have that fight up on stage. And for those 12 weeks, you know, for them, the training has become their priority. And so now they're going, well, if I'm going out getting drinking every night, that's going to impact my training. And the training is really important to me. So therefore, I'm making that conscious decision not to drink. We've done the same with Martini, with their cycling program. And we've seen people kind of really get into the program of cycling. And it's about kind of showing them that, showing them, giving them that reason to kind of make better decisions for themselves, rather than being the kind of preachy company going that, you know, you shouldn't drink so much because it's bad for your health. It's, mm-hmm. Let's talk about the other side of things.
So, this is a great point, Tim. So maybe, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but maybe recentering things a little bit where, yeah. So the whole thing is not necessarily focused around drinking. It's yeah. It's like you sometimes that's great, like balancing this sort of situation.
Definitely.
Sometimes it works, sometimes not, sometimes socially, sometimes not. Yeah. But it's the idea that this is not the entire center that things then kind of spring from entirely.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I still drink and I still believe that alcohol has a or can have an important part to play in good health. But it's very dependent on how we drink.
Right.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with going out and having a big night. Because again, we have to think it's kind of, you know, you have to go out and enjoy life, right?
Absolutely.
But it becomes the frequency becomes the problem, and quite often we just get into a habit of, oh, I'm at work, and so you know, I just drink when I'm at work, rather than waiting for that special occasion. It just becomes habitual, and mm-hmm. that's what we're trying to break.
Thank you for saying that, because I think that's you said it much better than I did. That's what I'm trying to get people mm-hmm. to understand, or we want people to understand in this circumstance, is that that's not part of the job description.
No,
or shouldn't be part of the job
be.
Description.
I mean, just because the party's going on around you doesn't mean that you have to be involved in the party.
You can be without drinking.
Yeah, no,
right?
Exactly.
You're providing hospitality. Yeah. That those are not the same thing.
No, exactly, exactly. And I think that you provide better hospitality when you're not off your face drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen in Europe the rise in the no alcohol movement, which is fantastic now. So now it's gone. For, you know, it's there are so many options now, and so many spirit brands out there offering that non-alcoholic option. Mm-hmm. So you can still go out and have really delicious cocktails that don't have alcohol. And I think there are also some habits for people that work in the industry that kind of need to stop. I talk about shots a lot. Because I love the ethos of the shot, you know, the idea behind the shot, that it's a celebration of something. You know, you're celebrating
the
friendship,
you're
celebrating establishment, you're celebrating hospitality, you're celebrating something. But what says, but the shot is not about the liquid so much. You're not sitting there appreciating it. It's not like it's a 40-year-old scotch. You're sitting there nosing and appreciating. The thing about the shot is it's about that moment. So why does that moment need to be full-strength bourbon or tequila? It doesn't.
Right,
it
right.
can be a low ABV, you know, like a sherry or a vermouth or a wine. It can be that because it's not about the alcohol. It's about the moment. It's about sharing that time with the people.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about that quite a lot. We talk about you know, just ways to reduce your alcohol consumption but still have those great moments, like the end-of-shift beer, for example, which for me I think is a super important aspect of hospitality, because
mm-hmm.
you know, at the end of the night, you've had a really particularly at the weekend, you've had a stressful shift, you've worked hard, you probably had some terrible customers, and you want to get that stress off your mind. You want to kind of just vent, you know, and just rah, and get it out, because that's going to help you when you go home. You're going to de-stress, you're going to be able to sleep better.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do it with a non-alcoholic beer rather than alcoholic beer,
mm-hmm.
you can still have all the benefits of the de-stressing and venting. But you're not having the alcohol, which will impact the quality of your sleep afterwards.
Right.
So it's about being smart with your consumption.
That's helpful that's for your significant other, too, when you go home and you don't have to unload it all on them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's do this. Let's hold this thought, friends. We've got to take a little break here on the show. So, friends, we're going to take a little break here on the Noel Drink Show. Come on. Everybody, welcome back to the show. Bienvenido. Noel the Drink Show. No, we're not going to do this in Spanish. It's kind of a joke. But we're talking about health and wellness here in the hospitality industry. And we're chatting with Tim Etherington, judge of Healthy Hospo. Christine Bocchino, who has stepped out here for a second to allow for some microphone space to guests who have just stepped in to join us. Effie Panagopoulos. Effie, how are you?
Great.
Excellent. Thank you. Nice to see you. Thanks for making a little bit of time. And Mo Aljaff, how are you, Mo?
I'm good, man. I'm happy to be here.
Hey, happy to have you here. Hey. Thank you. It's nice to meet you. I want to make sure that we're sort of not leaving one dangling issue, because when we took the break, we were sort of talking about this. Tim, you were talking about sort of the closing shift beer and the idea of, you know, going home, getting a good night's rest and cohabitating. Christine mentioned this, cohabitating with your partner if you have one.
Yeah, it's like sleep is the foundation of good health. So it's kind of the idea of going home after work de-stressed. You know, you've had that kind of mental time at work with your colleagues, getting venting, getting the stress out, and then going home and the mind has slowly started to unwind. You know, we've all got home at times in our lives and been super stressed. You know, something is just churning away in our brains, and that's kept us up all night. And it's an industry that already struggles with sleep. You know, because we're working outside of our natural circadian rhythms, we have high consumptions of alcohol, caffeine. Like many people in society, we kind of have demonized sleep as the enemy of productivity or getting on in life. So anything we can do to help us get a better night's sleep is going to be really, really good for us, our health. Mm-hmm. And it's free, and I think it's fun because I like sleeping. Mm-hmm. I enjoy my dreams.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
and it's the foundation of all good health. You know, it helps give us helps prevent against heart disease, dementia, and other brain diseases. It can impact on cancer because sleep is our natural body's recovery process. So if we're not getting enough sleep, our bodies are not recovering from the stresses that we put through them for the day. So it's super important that we do everything we can to kind of give us the best chance to get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, and so let's unpack a couple of things here.
It also
with
aids
Effie
in fat loss and metabolism.
Okay, so there you go. And what we were talking about, Effie, before was, you know, the idea of sort of the traditional post-shift drink. And Tim mentioned, for example, an alternative as opposed to just pounding bourbon or something like that is low ABV stuff, right?
I mean, personally speaking, I think a good old chamomile tea is really good. Fair enough,
yeah.
You know.
Feel free to elaborate.
I'll just dive right in. My dad was an alcoholic, and I lost him a year and a half ago. And he went from functioning alcoholic to non-functioning right when I moved to Miami, ironically, like Party City, USA. And it was a really traumatic experience for me, personally speaking, being in the industry. And I ended up kind of doing a 360. So I went from New York to Miami and had to go back home to Boston, put my dad in rehab, dealt with that whole situation. And so when I came back to Miami, I was at the same time working with a trainer that I was spending a lot of money on, and he kept bitching at me like to cut the drinking out if I wanted to get in the best shape of my life. And after the situation with my father, it was actually very easy to kind of make that decision to curb alcohol and kind of just remove it completely. And so literally I would go out at least two places that were restaurants that had bars, and I just started asking for tea all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was something that, you know, people would give me crap about. And then it finally, and I would literally just explain, like, I've just seen the worst from my parent, and it's, you know, I'm like afraid of my own self, and I just don't want to drink anymore, and that's it. And it was like I had the conversation over and over and over again, and it finally came to the point where I'd walk into any bar in Miami and people were like, "Hey, Effie, what kind of tea are you drinking?" Mm-hmm. Do you have a non-alc soda or whatever?
Do you not drink at all?
No, I don't drink at all, okay. But I generally have a rule for myself that's two drinks per night, two nights a week maximum is kind of like my rule.
Okay, gotcha.
When it comes to sleep anyways, though, you really don't want to have calories before you go to sleep necessarily, because That means your metabolism is starting to fire when you want everything to kind of shut down. So, you know, gotcha. I become the tea junkie.
Okay. Now, Mo, to you, because you're about to open a bar in Barcelona, is that correct?
Yeah, well, actually, we just opened around 20 days ago.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah. Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you.
Fantastic. Yeah. And you're here? Is the house on fire while you're gone?
it is a little bit. I'm not actually supposed to be here. But, yeah, I was nominated for this award, and some lovely people bought me a ticket out here as a present. Okay. Because I couldn't afford it, and I didn't really have the time for it. But after they bought me a ticket, my team just all went like, screw it, we'll cover you.
Gotta go.
We got you. So just go out there. So I'm just here for like 3 days. So okay. In and out.
Opening a new bar has got to be a stressful thing, right? That's what we're talking about.
100%, yeah. Yeah, so it's, yeah, we've basically been, like Christine mentioned earlier, to hell and back. We've gone through a lot. It's kind of like, I tried to think about how I can explain it. And it's kind of like you have this never-ending to-do list. And as you cross off one or two points, three or four points get added to it. And it's just on and on. And obviously you run into moments where you just feel like giving up. You know, there's just so much. And every day you're like, oh, we had a good day today. And then by the end of that day, four or five things gets added to it. Whether it's the water or the electricity or the plumbing or the licensing. But yeah, so nowadays I deal with a lot of that by running as first thing I do in the morning.
Okay.
So, and looking at that, looking at exercise for me has never been about, it's obviously the health benefits is a massive plus for me, and that you feel good and that, you know, you have a lot of energy. But for me, it's always been a bit kind of like a form of my own meditation. At work, all the time when I'm around people, like we give so much of ourselves to other people, right? Especially when you're behind the bar, when you're working on the floor. And so taking that 1-2 hours of just being by yourself, especially when you're on, you can't check your phone really. And you're just there by yourself and you just kind of like, I have always all these like 10, 20 to-do kind of things in my head. And I kind of get to untangle all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to play out every scenario of how I want to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And usually when I come back from a run, I have whatever decision I need to deal with those issues.
So an opportunity to focus.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so I've always looked as my workout as meditation. Mm-hmm. To kind of like, that's why I never really like to do it in big groups or with other people. I just like to be by myself. So. And obviously, living in Barcelona, being able to run by the beach—that's a massive plus.
So that's nice.
Yeah, right. Hell yeah.
And you just brought some of it. You guys, we got to take a break here in about a minute. But I think people oftentimes don't realize if you're a patron of bars, you're a customer. When you're providing service to people, it's psychologically taxing. It's mentally taxing because you have to be, you know, on all the time. And there's a mental health. There's a bill you pay psychologically.
Yeah, definitely. Though. Definitely.
That's where the post shift drain comes in, yeah. Right? Because most people deal with that stress as kind of like a,
yeah,
and have a drink afterwards. That's how a lot of people deal with it, I guess. I like to have a sherry after work, but yeah. I live in Spain. but it's. I mean, it's like very dangerous because, you know, you have that with some colleagues, and then a conversation starts, and then someone goes, "Oh, you guys want another round?"
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're there to 6, 7 a.m.
6 in the morning, right.
And, yeah, it just screws the next day, and it just kind of piles on. So it's
Gotcha. Let's do this, y'all. We need to take a little break here on the show. We are chatting about health and wellness in the hospitality industry, liquor industry. Hey, we're going to keep talking about it, friends. Take a little break here on the Noel Drink Show. Come on back.
Well, after I'm through, this bad shame, my tears feel like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with the WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and podcast land, wherever you may be. And yeah, we're talking about health and wellness in the hospitality industry. If you hear friends, a very important issue. You know, we've talked about it on the show before, and we're trying to bring you some new perspectives and some new ideas and thoughts. And on that level, here we're chatting with Tim Etherington Judge, among others, and from Healthy Hospital. And Tim, you're about to embark on a pretty amazing... amazing and challenging journey, running some marathons, and I'm assuming the idea is to set to inspire. Yeah,
it is set to inspire, create some conversation, and also raise some money to kind of build better mental health within the industry. As Effie was saying, we've lost far too many people to mental health problems. I've lost too many friends, and we all have. And from my own personal experience as well, you know, I really want to kind of start taking some positive action to start to change this conversation.
Let me clarify something here, because we were talking about that during the break, just for listeners. So we were, and I think a lot of us know that, you know, a lot of us have lost people in our lives due to addiction, substance abuse, depression, other things like that. So it's not unique to the industry, but it can be certainly exacerbated by the industry because of the health. And there's a lack thereof, sometimes lifestyle, working around a drug. So I just want to make sure that we're kind of framing what you just said, so people who didn't hear that part.
Great. So, you know, I wanted to do something that created a lot of attention, would raise a lot of money for people who are providing great support networks out there that maybe don't have enough money to kind of spread the word and get the awareness for people in the industry. So, I hit 42 this year. Maybe this is a bit of a midlife crisis, and I can't afford a Ferrari. But 42. So I live in Europe, so I'm used to the metric system.
We can do. We need to educate here, and there's this herd in Europe too. So go ahead and give it in metric.
Yeah. So
let people Google what the conversion is.
So conveniently, a marathon just happens to also be 42 kilometers long. Well, 42.195 kilometers long. And my kind of number OCD kicked in, and I was like, well, I'm 42. A marathon is 42. I don't really like running. I'm more of a cyclist. So that could be something. But then I was thinking, well, you know, one marathon's not really enough, because people go, oh, you're running a marathon, aren't you? Well, have a nice time. Go have fun. I've run a marathon before. What? Yeah. So, all right, one marathon's not enough. So it's like, well, I'm 42. A marathon's 42 kilometers. So I'll just do 42 of them. So the challenge is to run 42 marathons.
Perfectly sensible logic.
No doubt. It seemed fine in my head at the time. So it's 42 marathons in 42 consecutive days at 42 years old, and it starts tomorrow.
You're traveling around to do this, correct?
Yeah. So the first two are in New Orleans during Tales of the Cocktail.
So you're getting the hard one out of the way.
In this heat.
All right, but you're running some of them with me tomorrow, Mo.
You're going to do some of it, Mo, is that correct?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. I'll come for the first five.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Just flip it around, go 24, but, you know, kilometers.
Yeah.
So the first two are in New Orleans during Tales of the Cocktail. Then I fly to New York. So I've got two in New York. Because you can't fly back to Europe direct from New Orleans. So I thought I'd do a stopover in New York.
Unless you want to go to Frankfurt, actually.
Oh, okay. But then I still have to connect from Frankfurt to Amsterdam. So it's
great.
And I'd much rather go to New York than Frankfurt.
That makes sense. No offense to our friends in Frankfurt, but
so two in New York, and then I fly back to Amsterdam, where I live, and then the rest are between Amsterdam and London.
And so, as far as getting this then out, the idea is to get this out there, right? To share what you're doing with people.
Yeah, to get people talking about, you know, because people go like, what are you doing? That's crazy. And people then want to instigate in a conversation, like, why would you do something so mad? And then you can start to have that conversation around, you know, building better mental health. And then they start to get interested. And we're also trying to raise £42,000 for a charity in the UK called The Benevolent, who are the UK drinks industry charity. And they run a dedicated helpline specifically for mental health for people who work in the industry in the UK.
Oh, wonderful. Well, let me ask you this question, because you're running a bar. Mm. How do you accommodate your employees? And do you encourage, I mean, I know you can't make people do stuff, but do you encourage this behavior, or try and make time for people, or provide resources or information or things like that?
One of the first things we started doing was that we started talking with our chef and how we can create the meals that we provide the staff. to be a little bit better and a little bit more oriented for the fact that you're going to be on your feet for 8-9 hours, mm-hmm. right? Another thing is, well, right now we are a very, very small team, so we just, you know, talk with each other. It's not, we don't have a full-on program set, but we always try to talk about what we're doing differently with food, what we're doing differently with drink. Right now I'm really into both intermittent fasting and keto. And keto is something that doesn't work for everyone, the keto diet, but it's definitely worked for me. Mm-hmm. And I also think that it's something that you can easily do, especially if you live in Spain. There's a lot of fatty foods over there. Yeah. And so obviously we just a lot of times sit down and discuss that and how that, for example, has changed my energy level so I don't get midday dips anymore, which the midday dips for me throughout the shift can cause, like, you'll get a mid-shift dip and you'll reach for that extra cup of coffee or that shot with a guest or, you know, a mid-shift drink. And so as soon as we started with that diet, I stopped having those. So as soon as I stopped having those, we sat down with the team and I was like, well, this is what I've been doing. It's been working good for me. I'm very energetic. And we talk about that. But nothing as a program per se.
Okay. But there's the thought process is there,
yeah,
right?
And yeah. So, but I used to work in a bar that I loved. And in that bar, they hired a personal trainer who would come and sit down with all the team members and just talk a little bit about them. And then he would do a workout program for everyone. Okay. And that for me was something that was very, very inspiring. It's something we're going to try to recreate, but yeah, we want to get on our feet first. with the
fair. Part of sustainability, yeah. There's health, there's wellness, and there's being in business.
Yeah. Let's get practical and then, yeah, for sure.
Well, we had about a couple minutes left before I have to close out the radio portion of the show. Effie, tell people, because you do a brand of Mastika, and we'll talk about this in the podcast, the only thing, but there's a health benefit to Mastika that I had no idea that you were just talking
right.
about.
Right. I mean, again, I'm never, ever going to irresponsibly say that drinking alcohol is good for your health. However, my product is called Kleos Mastika Spirit, and it's made from a Greek superfood, which is called Mastika. It's a sap from a tree that's indigenous to the Greek island of Chios, and there's over 30 at this point modern published medical studies that prove that Mastika kills H. pylori, which is the bacteria that causes peptic ulcers, gastric cancer, and acid reflux, which actually a lot of bartenders have issues with acid reflux because of imbibing so much citrus over the years.
Right,
But all the healing properties for the stomach and digestive system are actually retained in liquor form. So about 2 to 4 ounces, you'll burp up a little bit. So mm-hmm. Greeks, modern day time, drink it as a digestif. Athenians in, let's say, 1800s, 1900s, used to drink it as an aperitif because it essentially removes all the gas from your stomach, so it allows you to Eat more.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. So do this, actually, because we got about a minute left before I'm going to close out this part of the show. Where do people find your brand of Mastika?
On my website, it's drinkkleos.com. There's a link for where to buy. Right now, it's limited distribution in the United States. I do have a retailer that can ship out to about 12 states. Mm-hmm. And then I launched London and Cyprus recently.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Awesome. Maybe Spain soon, just Yay. So I can be in Mo's bar.
There you go. Perfect. And where do we find your bar in Barcelona?
In the Raval area of Barcelona. Bar is called Two Schmucks. You can find us on Facebook as well or on the Instagram page Cocktail Schmuck.
Very nice. Excellent. Yeah. And congratulations on the new bar, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tim, where do we find Healthy Hospo?
Just at Healthy Hospo. We're on all social platforms. Also, website, healthyhospo.com.
Yep. HELTHYHOSPO, correct?
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
So, yeah, and it's full of useful information. We've got lots of blogs. Places where people can find support, all sorts of stuff on there.
Awesome. The three of you, plus Christine, are going to stick around for another shot with Noah Drinks. So if you're listening on the radio, friends, I encourage you to go get the podcast on all the major podcast platforms. Go to noahdrinks.com. You'll find it there. If you're listening here on the radio, remember to be kind to one another. Use your turn signal. And until next time, cheers, y'all.
like this. I said I called your name, but no one came. Now I see you become just like the company you keep. Then he said, all these saints and all these sinners will try to bend your.
All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for sticking around for another shot with Noel Drinks. Brian Diaz here with you as always. Hope you're enjoying the conversation that we're having with Tim, Christine, Effie, and Mo. We're going to bounce right back over to our final bit of Tales of the Cocktail 2019 coverage. We wrap things up with them. Pretty short little segment because we were recording in a shared space there at Tales in the hotel where they were, and they needed to get somebody else in there. So it's only about a 5 minute, another shot this time. Pretty short. And then I'll be back with my parting shot after that. Here we go. And yeah, really interesting conversation, friends, and actually some really serious stuff. And I don't want to drudge up too much, but we were talking a little bit. We referenced this. It is a high pressure industry. Mm-hmm. And Effie, you were pointing out that you've lost several friends, and we've all lost people in our lives to this kind of stuff. But this is a real thing, and I think a lot of people. We're now speaking largely to an industry audience, as we know. Let's talk a little bit about ways that people can actually get health and help.
Yep.
So anybody, you know what, you know, there's ways we've talked about lifestyle, we've talked about running, we've talked about healthy hospo a little mm-hmm. bit. There are resources, there are ways to go out and address these things, are there not?
Yeah, I mean, there's loads of stuff going on now. Yeah, this is the second year that Tales of Cocktail have run the Beyond the Bar program. She's been fantastic. So now they're really starting to put health and wellness as a really important aspect of the industry. So there have been some amazing conversations, seminars, activities going on during the course of the week. So there's a lot of new stuff going on right now, whether it comes to kind of improving your sleep, talking about nutrition, moderation of alcohol consumption. We've had bartender boxing and cycling. There was the Pin Project, which is a new not-for-profit project.
I'm wearing my pin.
That's what it looks like. Effie's I haven't seen it yet. Okay, cool.
Which is a kind of pin to show the bartenders that you've chosen not to drink on that night that you're going out. Which is fantastic. And then,
and to show the public, too. We want the public to be aware of this, that we appreciate you maybe wanting to buy a shot, but we can do a ginger shot. We can do a shot of water.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we were talking about the ceremony earlier, and that part really kind of matters.
Yeah, for me, it's important, the ceremony of the shot. It's never about the alcohol that's in the shot glass. It's about the moment. It's about the celebration with your friends. It's about something else.
Yeah, we switched it in our bar to have a bottle of... have a bottle of cold brew.
Oh, cool.
So every time we pour shots, I just pour myself half a shot of cold brew.
Yeah, like it's perfect,
20
right?
20 ml of cold brew, and it's also a little... It still works as a little pick-me-up as well. I mean, like midway throughout the shift, if you have just like a little cold brew, and I'll have that instead of having a cup of coffee. I love coffee, so I'm just a massive addict to it. But yeah, that's definitely like... Changing out the liquid in the shot, that's like something that we're like, yeah, definitely.
Because you still have the celebration, and that's what the shot is all about. It's
great.
I ate a piece of shrimp when everyone was cheersing last night, and I cheers with my shrimp, actually.
Hey, you're in Louisiana, Effie.
Yeah.
We have pretty good shrimp here. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a whole other show.
My hands were completely filthy, too, actually, because I had to peel off the shrimp. It was a jewel of the South. Yeah. Place is fabulous.
Excellent. Well, we are actually recording here in the media room, so we're telling people that they kind of want us to clear out here really quickly. So we're not going to belabor this too much longer. I think there's a lot more that we can unpack here. We'll do more in future shows and talk about this, but we need to be respectful of our friends' time.
We do.
Normally, I like to sort of ramble on during this segment. We'll go on forever, but we'll do this again. Do me a favor, Tim. Let's start here. I'd like to tell everybody how to connect with you all with Healthy Hospo and Mestica and Two Schmucks and
And Christine, even tell people where you work in L.A. Let's start with you because you've barely spoken.
I actually am doing a lot of consulting right now. So I write for a couple magazines in L.A., one in Italy, Beverage Publications.
Are you still working at the hotel?
And not at the hotel anymore.
Oh, awesome.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. As I was kind of talking about earlier, the hours were getting to me.
Okay.
And so I decided to move more into the consulting where I could make my own hours. I'm still working a lot, but actually Healthy Hospital is such a large focus for me, and the hours at the hotel were not allowing me to do that. So I'm really happy to be kind of moving into a little more flexible schedule.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. Mo, where do we find Two Schmucks again, ma'am?
In the Raval area of Barcelona. You can find us online, Two Schmucks on Facebook or Cocktail Schmuck on Instagram, and just book a trip to Barcelona. Do yourself that favor.
Do it.
I'm going to get your card. Effie, where do we find Cleo's?
Well, I bring you grease in a bottle.
Oh, so I don't have to have a passport or a plane ticket.
Drinkcleos.com. It's 2 Ks, DRINKKLEOS, and it's at drinkcleos on Instagram. My personal Instagram is Greek Spirit Muse. And in fact, I led a guided meditation today, and I love to send those resources. I've got websites upon websites with guided meditations for folks.
Oh, sweet. Awesome. Great. Thank you for sharing that. And one more time with Healthy Hospo.
Just Healthy Hospo. HealthyHospo.com.
I love how simple that is, Tim.
That's super simple.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Good luck starting tomorrow.
Thank you.
And you're going to be tracking this on Instagram and stuff like that. And
yeah, so be
media.
On Instagram. If any of the listeners use Strava, I'm on Strava at Healthy Hospo as well, which is a kind of running and cycling social network. And if you see me running around the streets, throw some cold water over me because it's hot out there.
Right on. Well, you have and money, right? I mean, you'll take donations on the route. Yeah. Okay, cool. I really appreciate y'all making time. Thanks. And I apologize for having to rush through this. Normally, we like to just sort of sit around in a restaurant. We have a lot of time to talk, but we'll have y'all back on again. So I appreciate y'all. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Friends, we're going to take a little brief musical interlude, and I'll be back with my parting shot. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening into the show this week, friends. I do appreciate it as always. Great conversation there with the gang from Healthy Hospo. I think a lot of cool things to think about. As you know, certainly it is a topic that we have discussed before on the show. And as I said, we will continue to discuss on the show. But people always bring new perspectives and new angles. And of course, Healthy Hospo is a great organization. So be sure to check them out and give them some support. If you're in the industry, they've got a lot of things for you, a lot of resources, training opportunities to help your business or you as an individual address work-life balance and just general healthfulness if you're in the industry, as I said. And if you're an individual, I am sure, meaning an enthusiast, somebody not in the industry, I am sure that they would love your support. So go check them out, healthyhospo.com, friends. This is our parting shot here for August 26th, that week. Talking about what we were talking about there on the show, work-life balance, as we just mentioned. When people are working in the hospitality industry, and we've touched on this before, we touched on it during this show, they're surrounded by alcohol. And I think sometimes it's kind of easy to assume that this is not a risky situation or we don't talk about it as such. But let's be honest, friends, when you're working behind a bar or if you're selling liquor or any number of other connected jobs, you're dealing in a drug. That's the reality of it. A legal one, sure, in most places anyway, but it is a drug. And when you're constantly around it and a lot of the environment is built around consuming it and serving it, it is a risky situation. Now, I think we know that, for example, say you're a bartender or just even as an individual or an enthusiast, and you go into a bar and part of the hospitality or presentation is doing shots. And let's take the bartender example. Maybe your fellow bartender's pouring shots for guests because that's what they want to do that day. And that is within the company policy, something we've talked about that we won't address here on, should people be allowed to drink on the job or not? Different question for a different day. Maybe your favorite regulars are there and you want to show them a good time because they're supporting you and tipping you well constantly and things like that. It can be really tough. There can be a lot of pressure and it's around. And one can imagine that maybe taking that favorite regulars example, that maybe a set of favorite regulars come in and you want to pour them a shot and you do a shot with them and then they leave and 15 minutes later, another set of favorite regulars come in. And so you kind of end up with this cycle where you could end up drinking a lot on a shift, right? I think we know quite often that can happen. It can very often be hard to say no.
Also, I think a lot of people, it's seen as part of the culture of providing hospitality in a space, that you're going to do a shot with your guests or even the shots with your coworkers and things, creating a sort of party vibe and party atmosphere. And look, that can be effective in creating a party vibe or party atmosphere. People might spend more money, tip a little better, so on and so forth. So there's another bit of added pressure there in so-called presenting the room that may involve the consumption of alcohol as a staff member. But these things, there are always options and always alternatives. One, something we've touched on, you can always do a low ABV shot. Maybe you do an Amaro, or it's just a little sip of vermouth or something along those lines. Recently, my friends at a particular spot in New Orleans, one of our favorite places to hang out, the bartenders, will do a ginger shot. So the ginger syrup they're making for their drinks gives you a little boost of energy, good for digestion and all that stuff. So you still get to participate in the pomp and circumstance, if you will, but you're not, say, drinking bourbon or tequila or something along those lines. But another alternative, friends, is simply not to do it. Now, those of us that are enthusiasts, I think it's important to note that we shouldn't, as customers, expect our bartenders, our servers, restaurant managers, whatever we're talking about, to do it. It's not a slight on you if they don't. Don't put that kind of pressure on people to do it. If they want to pour a shot, a round of shots for you as guests and just say, hey, cheers, or this one's on the house and high fives, whatever, that's great. Respect the decision of those that are working to choose not to do it. Now, there's an interesting project that just started up not too long ago. They were grant funded by Tales of the Cocktail last year, and I believe it's sort of ramping up now, and it's a pin. And the whole idea behind wearing the pin, if you're working, is to indicate in a nonverbal way that you're not interested in drinking that day. Now, it could be that you don't drink at all, or it could simply be that that's not the day of the week that you're going to drink, or you're taking a break for 2 weeks, or you're on medicine and you're not feeling well, or any number of other things, just simply to indicate in a nonverbal fashion that you're not going to drink that day. And I think it's a great concept because you can let your colleagues know, customers who are aware of what it is. And I think that's where the rubber hits the road a little bit, is the organization, I'll give you their website shortly, needs to get the word out. And those in the industry need to let people know what the pin means. It's kind of cool. It's a silver pin with a little circle and a horizontal line through it. But the nonverbal aspect of that can be, I think, very, very powerful. It can just make it easier. You don't have to then turn it down, right? Because you're not going to be offered the shot in the first place by your colleague. Or if a customer knows what it is, they're not going to say, hey, let me buy you a shot, right? So I think it's a pretty neat idea to go check out what they've got going on. And as I said, they were grant funded. They've been ramping up. It's called The Pin. Their website is The Pin. But here's kind of a little trick in their URL. It is THEP.IN. Again, THEP.IN. And you can buy a pin for $15. So if you're in the industry, check it out. Hey, I don't see any reason why, if you're an enthusiast, a customer, and you go out with a group of friends, buy a pin, supports the cause, and also will let your friends know, and will let bartenders know that you're not drinking that day. Maybe you're the DD. Hey, maybe I've got a new marketing angle for them. Who knows? But I think it's a pretty cool concept. Be aware of what it is. We'll share it once I see that more of it's out there, that the program is fully operational. I think it's still kind of ramping up, as I said, and be on the lookout. If you see somebody in the industry, somebody behind the bar, your favorite bartender wearing a pin, then you just sort of know, and we all don't have to ask, right? Either way, whether they're wearing a pin or whether they're not, always be respectful of someone's choices. If they don't want to drink, if you offer to buy them a shot, it's not a slight on you because they turn it down. They're not obliged to drink with you while you're there as a customer. And if you're a colleague, they're not obliged to drink with you either. If, again, it's within your company policy to drink on the job, if they're choosing not to drink that day, don't pressure somebody and don't be disrespectful and don't do the sort of, you know, you've had a lot to drink. Oh, come on. You know, don't be a wet blanket kind of thing. Not cool, friends. That's kind of where we're going with this, is be respectful of somebody's choices on that day or in general when it comes to drinking in a hospitality establishment or when somebody's out selling liquor. So whether, friends, we're in the industry or not, we all have a vested interest in our hospitality industry friends being happy, healthy, and just around so we can see them again the next day. Friends, that's our parting shot. Here's to you.